Before we dive in, let's pray. Lord, I thank you for this day. Thank you for this gathering of brothers and sisters, Lord. And I pray you open our hearts and our minds. Lord, we want to hear from you. We want you to speak to us and minister to us. And Lord, I pray that you bring the change that is so necessary for us to live and to thrive in this world, Lord. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, kiddos in here, you notice I didn't have a coloring. Anybody wondering, where's the coloring? Well, we were going to be outside, and even though we're not outside, my intention was to have some participation with the young ones. And, you know, I'm thinking more school age, so we can be up to the teens and such if you want. But I've got this bucket of candy that I really want to give away. And so I'm going to be asking lots. Yeah, here you go. Let's see if you guys are front row guys. That's right. I have this candy I really want to give away. So I'm going to be asking lots of questions. The kids, you guys are going to help answer or help preach this message. And I'm going to have to chuck candy, and that's going to be dangerous. So we do have some seats over here. If you guys want to gather over here kind of in the front center, you know, if they happen to whiz by your shoulder, Rick, and you've got that cat-like reflex, you know, you're all for it. So I could use some help with the young ones if you guys want to sit over here or over there, and we'll be asking questions, and we want to hear what you guys know or are aware of. You guys can go in that second row, too. Yep. We're over here. All right, they're coming in. Wyatt, he's like, candy? All right. We're squeezing them all in. You don't have enough seats, I think. Yeah.
I'm in a crack.
You're in a crack. This is gonna be fun. Hang on, here we go.
I'll follow you
guys. Alright, so here's the rule though, okay? If you're gonna answer a question, you gotta raise your hand, right? And I'm gonna try to mix it up as much as I can. We're also, guys, getting you ready for that. A thing that you have been going to or are going to soon. So, school. Okay. You have to wait for me to call upon you if you raise a hand. All right. So, here we go. First of all, who is the character that we have been talking about the last few weeks? Let's go right here. Moses. Oh, a little faster there, Rick. So, can someone tell me what God wants him to do? What do you think? Go to Egypt and set his people free. Yes, that is what God has called Moses to do. God's people, the Hebrews, what sort of situation are they in? What's going on in their life? They're slaves. That sounds like fun, doesn't it? They are slaves, which is kind of rough. It's kind of difficult. As slaves, what's their job? What do they do? Do whatever they tell them to do. Do you guys know what they're presently doing?
They're actually teaching people to follow God.
They're teaching people to follow God. Okay, I'm gonna be generous on that. If they're slaves, right now they're building. What are they building?
Pyramids.
They're not building pyramids, but they're building buildings and stuff like that. So they're slaves. And they're under harsh conditions, and they're building a bunch of buildings. Do you guys think being a slave and building buildings would be easy or hard? What do you think? It's going to be hard. Yes, it would. It would be very hard to be a slave. It's difficult. There's hardships. And one more. We need one more explanation on. There's a guy named Pharaoh. Can someone tell me who Pharaoh is? Anybody that I haven't called on yet? Okay. Who's Pharaoh? He's the king of Egypt, okay? Is he the good guy in the story or the bad guy?
Good.
What do you think? Is Pharaoh the good guy or the bad guy? Yeah. He's the bad guy. Yes, that's right. So we have Moses and we have Pharaoh, who is the bad guy. Now, setting up our scripture, we're going to read through here. We need to understand that Moses just came out of the wilderness, and he went to the leaders of the Israelites, and he said, God wants, he's seen your bondage, your slavery, he wants to set you free. And so he just convinced them that they all agreed, yes, God wants us, they're all excited, God wants us to be set free. So Exodus chapter 5, verse 1. After the presentation to Israel's leaders, Moses and Aaron went and spoke
to Pharaoh, do you think Pharaoh knows? What does Pharaoh think the people of Israel are? What does he think? How does he view them?
Slaves.
He sees them as slaves, which is like his property, right? He gets to control them. He gets to tell them whatever he wants to do. Is that true? Is he really the boss of them?
No.
No, no. Who's the boss? God is the boss over him. But Pharaoh doesn't recognize this. He doesn't know this quite yet. Something else we need to think about is, does anyone know who pharaohs think they are? If I'm a pharaoh, who do I think I am?
A king.
I was going here, Genevieve. He is a king, but who does he think he really is? Respected authority, yeah, but I'm thinking a little bit more.
God.
He thinks he's a god. Very good. Pharaohs think they're the... I'm sorry, these guys are going to get sugared up today. Maybe I need to start asking some teenagers to get them involved, okay? They think they're a god. So Pharaoh thinks he's Thor. Pharaoh thinks he's Thanos. He thinks he's this tough guy. But Moses knows a secret. Moses knows that Pharaoh is nothing. And sometimes we need to recognize that and understand that. Is we have authorities sometimes over us that we need to respect and honor, but sometimes they think more of themselves than they really are. And we need to know the secret, that they are under the rule and reign of Jesus Christ. They aren't some god. They are not Thor or Thanos. They are not the superhero. They are just a human being that one day will submit to Jesus Christ. Going on in verse 1, they told him, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Let my people go, so they may hold a festival in my honor in the wilderness." Does God want... I got some teens over here. Does God want his people to be free or in bondage? Oh, come on, teens. Come on, teens. Does God want his people to be free or in bondage? Yes, in the front row here. He wants them to be free. Good job. God does not want his people to be in bondage. God wants all of his people to be free. That should be encouraging. Those that God belong to God should be free, not bound. Verse 2. So they're talking to Pharaoh. And Pharaoh says, "Is that so? And who is the Lord? Why should I listen to him and let Israel go? I don't know the Lord, and I will not let Israel go." Pharaoh does not know who God is. But stay tuned. He's going to find out pretty soon who God is. Let me ask that with the kids. So God doesn't know who Pharaoh is, or Pharaoh does not know who God is. So let's say you have a friend who doesn't know Jesus, doesn't know who Jesus is. Why would they not know who Jesus is? Because they don't go to church, that's one. Why else wouldn't they know who Jesus is? They don't believe him. Yep, I'm looking for one more. Why wouldn't they know who Jesus is? They didn't read the Bible. Here, I'll give the answer. Because nobody told them. You get that in reading the Bible, going to church, yes. But people don't know who Jesus is. They don't know who God is because nobody tells them. And adults, whose job is it to tell them? It's our job to tell people who God is, who Jesus is. Verse 3, "But Aaron and Moses persisted. The God of the Hebrews has met with us," they declared. "So let us take a 3-day journey into the wilderness so we can offer sacrifices to the Lord our God. If we don't, he will kill us with a plague." Oh, joy. "Or with a sword." Verse 4, Pharaoh replied, "Moses and Aaron, why are you distracting the people from their tasks? Get back to work." All right, back to the teens. What are they supposed to be doing right now?
Working,
because they're slaves. Some people don't trust my toss there. They're supposed to be doing something. And Pharaoh is like, you're supposed to be doing your slave work. Could any of you be doing something else right now? What could you be doing right now? I'm sorry, he's getting two for that one. He could be home cleaning up his toys. Wow. Could anyone here think of something else you could be doing right now? Is there something that we're distracted from? There's so much that we could do. And yet, we think about church and go, the only thing we should be doing right now is being right here in this time together, worshiping God. Pharaoh doesn't know who God is or what God expects, but he's going to learn shortly. Verse 5. Look, there are many of your people in the land, and you are stopping them from their work. The people are many, still growing in numbers, adults. Do you remember the reason for this back at the beginning of this series? What was the blessing that God had poured out upon his people? They were growing in numbers. Because God commanded them to be fruitful and multiply. And they were obedient. Well, they were blessed, being blessed. Because they were being obedient with having kids. They were being obedient with having growing in numbers. And that was the blessing that they were living in. And still, the Pharaoh recognizes that. Number 6, or verse 6. The same day, Pharaoh sent the order. So, Pharaoh says, get back to work. And 6, he says, same day Pharaoh sent an order to the Egyptian slave drivers and Israelite foremen, do not supply any more straw for making bricks. Make the people get them themselves, but still require to them to make the same number of bricks as before. Don't reduce the quota. They are lazy. That's what they're crying out. Let us go so we can offer sacrifices to God. No, load them down with work. Make them sweat. That will teach them to listen to lies. So they're supposed to make more bricks. Can somebody tell me what a brick is? Do you know what a brick is? Trey? Yeah. You use it to build houses, right? It's made of like clay or concrete or something like that, okay? We're going to talk about bricks in a little bit more. I'm probably going to need Trey's help with that one in a little bit. Verse 10. So the slave drivers and foremen went out and told the people. So Pharaoh says, we're supposed to continue to make the same amount of bricks, but they don't get to have straw. So now the slave drivers and the foreign went out and told the people, this is what Pharaoh said, I will not provide any more straw for you. Go and get it yourselves. Find it wherever you can, but you must produce just as many bricks as before. So the people scattered throughout the land of Egypt to search for more stubble for their straw. Is God still, I'm asking everyone just to think, is God still trying to free his people? Yes. Is it getting more difficult? Yes. And it's funny what happens when we feel like we're being obedient to God. We're doing what we're supposed to do, and things get difficult. Things get harder, and we start to go, maybe this isn't right. Maybe something's off. It's not like God, when things get harder, God goes, ooh, wow, didn't see that coming. Well, good luck with that. God understands that things get difficult. So now their work is going to get harder. And is that God's fault? No. It's not God's fault when everything gets harder. But God can use that. Because God wants us to grow in the hardships, in the difficulties that go our way. And also, if you can see the succession here of what's going on, God tells Moses that I want my people to be set free. And the people and the leaders are convinced we're going to be set free. And now, because of this, and they ask Pharaoh says, no, make things harder. Has it been hard for Moses so far? Has he had a difficult journey? Going out in the wilderness, being away, they wanted to be killed, having to be convinced by God with a burning bush to go back and say, let my people go. He's had a difficult journey, and now he's excited. But he's carried a burden for a while. And now as he is going back to his people, their burden is increasing. Because that's kind of how the family of God works. God doesn't want the burden to be on one or two people. God has it on all of us. He wants us all to work together through the struggles and the burdens and the hardships so that we all can grow. But if we all sit back and go, well, it's his fault. He's the one that brought the hardship. We got to be careful because God wants us all to grow in this. 13. Meanwhile, the Egyptian slave drivers continued to push hard, meeting your daily quota of bricks, just as you did when we provided you with straw, they demanded. Then they whipped the Israelite foremen they had put in charge of the work crews. Why haven't you met your quotas either yesterday or today? Kids, they're supposed to make bricks without straw. They're not given straw. And so they have to go find the straw. Why don't they just try to make bricks without straw?
It would be harder for it.
Ah, and she is about to preach our message today. Why don't they just make the bricks without straw? Because the bricks won't be strong enough. You know, it's interesting, and again, we'll talk in a little bit more about bricks. I didn't realize until researching it. I just thought it was something in the middle of the brick, kind of keep it like we put rebar in things, right? But it's actually when the straw is in the brick that whatever makes up the straw, when it's broken down, it releases an acid that strengthens the brick. That's pretty cool. It's got to be straw. So 15. So the Israelite foreman went to Pharaoh and pleaded with him. Now you need to understand this. Pharaoh tells his slave drivers they have to make the same number of bricks without the straw. And so those slave drivers tell the people. And now the people are trying to gather the bricks. It's getting hard. And because they're not meeting the quota, the slave drivers are beating up the Israelite foremen, the bosses, the Hebrew bosses of the Hebrew people. And they're experiencing some hardship, some extra hardship. They're getting beaten, not the people. And so what do? When their hardship is cranked up? So the Israelite foreman went to Pharaoh and pleaded with him. Please don't treat your servants like this, they begged. We are given no straw, but the slave drivers still demand make bricks. And we are being beaten. But it isn't our fault. Your own people are to blame. Has life ever gotten harder in your life? Has there ever been a season when something's been difficult? Maybe a boss. Maybe a coworker. Maybe a health thing. Maybe a relationship. When we are going through a hardship, where do we go to solve the problem? What did the Israelite foreman do? They went to Pharaoh. They went to what they assumed was the source of their difficulties. But was he? Or was he the one who actually could solve it? They went to their earthly authority to solve the problem, when in reality, they should have gone to God. If they were convinced God wanted them to deliver them, and now in this process of God trying to deliver them, it gets harder, why did they go to the Pharaoh? Why don't they go, okay, God, this is your plan. Hey, Moses, can we have a prayer meeting? Can we gather together? Let's seek the Lord in this, because this doesn't appear to be working. God's plan is a little confusing. And Moses would have said, I know. We have to go to God to solve our problems first. And sometimes he sends us to our leaders, but sometimes God says, watch this. 17. But Pharaoh shouted, you are just lazy. Lazy. That's why you're saying, let us go and offer sacrifices to the Lord. Now get back to work. No straw for you. Sorry. Any Seinfeld? Okay. No straw will be given to you, but you will still produce the full quota of bricks. The Israelite foreman could see that they were in serious trouble when they were told, you must not reduce the number of bricks you make each day. As they left Pharaoh's court, they confronted Moses and Aaron, who were waiting for them outside. And the foreman said to them, may the Lord judge and punish you for making us stink before Pharaoh and the officials. You have put a sword in their hands, an excuse to kill us. Why did they blame Moses for their extra workload? Why do you think they blame Moses for the extra workload? Okay, why do you think they blamed Moses? Yeah, yep. He's the one that told them. So they think he's the source of all the problems. But this isn't Moses' plan. This is God's plan. The officers used to be convinced that God was with them. But an increase in hardship makes it hard. And now they're turning from God. They couldn't handle what's going on. They were kind of weak. I think they needed to be strengthened. They needed to be conditioned. They needed something to make them stronger. And that's what I want to talk about. I want to talk about bricks. Trey, I think if you're willing, I could use your help here this morning because you're the tough one. You're the strong one. Could you come up here? Now, I had this great plan, this great analogy, which we were going to be outside. You're going to see it. But just like the weather, my plan failed a little bit. So it's not optimal. So you're going to have to work with me, you know, with this understanding. So what I did is I made some bricks. Okay? Now, one of mine broke. Okay? It wasn't intended to be broke. But imagine this is a full one. Okay? Do they look similar? Is there kind of about the same? You know, again, if it would have been a little bit bigger. Okay, so these are two different bricks. Now I'm going to take one of these bricks, which would have worked better before, and I'm going to put it right here, and I'm going to give Trey, this is dangerous, I'm going to give you a hammer. You know what the hammer represents? Pressure, right? Mama's looking like, oh, Pastor, you do not know what you're doing. I remember last time I did this, Sophie tried to stab me with a pencil or something like that, trying to pop a balloon or a pen. So I'm going to stand back a little bit. So you don't have to take a big swing, but I want you to apply some pressure there in the middle of the brick. Can you do that? Give it a good thwack. I'm going to try to get the middle there. Yep. Oh, and what happened? It broke. There's no straw in it. Well, let's put a similar brick on here and give it like the same amount of a hit. Ah, now did that break? It did, but if I grab half of this, it's still being held together. Why is that? Do you think that's straw? Well, I didn't have any straw. Thank you, Trey. You get two because you didn't hurt me. And you did great breaking my bricks. So in the other brick, I put some chicken wire. I put some metal. I put something in it to do what? Why would I put metal in it? It acts like the straw. The outside of the bricks, they look the same. If you looked at one with or without, you wouldn't be able to tell the difference. But it's what's within that brings the strength. Where do we get that? Psalms chapter 73, 26. My health may fail. My spirit may grow weak. But God remains the strength of my heart. And he is mine forever. Where does our strength come from? God. And where is God? He's in our hearts. He's everywhere. But I can look at someone, two different people. One person has God in their heart and another person does not. And sometimes you can't tell the difference. We're just humans. But to one, when the pressure is applied, when forces are weighted down upon them, you begin to see that there's a strength in there. Have you ever known someone that just never gets down? They always are up. Many times, it's because they got a good relationship with Jesus Christ. It's because there's something within their heart that makes them strong. And like I said, with straw, it's cool. Straw, that as it breaks down within the brick, the acid releases, makes everything, all the chemicals within it or whatever, all the elements strengthen. And it's crazy what God does in our lives. How it just permeates all of us. It goes into different parts of our lives and makes everything stronger. Our relationships are stronger. Our finances are stronger. Our mental health is stronger. Our regular health is stronger. God within us makes us strong. When we don't have God within us, we break and we crumble. Now, I could probably build something with a bunch of bricks like this, but it's not going to be, you've got ideas, don't you? Ooh, I know what I can make with that. But you get enough weight on there and it crumbles. And so often we're like, well, I don't want weight or pressure on my life. But God says, you're a part of a family. You're a part of a body. You're a part of a community. You're part of a family. And I need you each to be able to take on a load. But when you put Christ in the middle, you're even stronger. It's stronger in your marriage. It's stronger in your parenting. When Christ is in the middle of your life, in the middle of your family. It's stronger when it's in the middle of a church. When Jesus Christ is the center of a church, of a body of Christ, we are so much stronger. Because we're not always going to agree. We're not always going to see eye to eye. We're not going to have the same decisions. But when Jesus and God's love is in the middle of it, we're stronger. Something is happening to you guys right now from within. You're all getting excited. And you're getting like, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? Why is that? Because you got sugar in you. It's amazing, these things that go within us. That can change us. You know, you can have a rough day. Well, have you eaten? Have you slept? There are so many things within us that can change our attitude. Understanding, I'm sorry, guys. You know, you got to go to school and you got to get education in there. Why? Because we're trying to put stuff. Shh, don't talk about that. Because we're trying to put knowledge in there that helps us to grow and mature. And that's what we need as believers. We need more knowledge and understanding of the Word, of the Bible within us, because it strengthens us. Some of us were just a little bit of concrete and a little bit of stone, but we need a whole lot of other things in us to make us strong. So what area of your life you feel like is crumbling? What area of your life just feels like every time something happens, it just falls apart? Well, then what is missing? What needs to be in that area? It's Jesus. And Jesus takes many different forms. Because he brings us love, and he brings us hope, and he brings us mercy. But he brings us something like this, as we're about to have, is some fellowship, gathering together. He brings us together for worship. What's crumbling in your life? Make Jesus the straw. Kind of interesting that when Jesus was born, like young Orph this morning at 2 o'clock, they probably cleaned him and wrapped him up. When Jesus was born, where'd they put him? Put him in a trough. With straw. He represents the strength that we all need in our lives. Strength we need as a church, as families, in marriage. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you. Thank you for your word and your analogies, Lord. There are so many pictures in the scriptures, Lord, that are so true. Lord, there are so many elements, Lord, that we can continue to discover, Lord, as you have created this word of God to become alive in us. And I pray it does. And Lord, for these kids this morning, I pray that the word always comes alive to them. Lord, I pray, Lord, that they, not just because they get candy, that there is a desire to dig into the word and understand these stories even more. Lord, because they're the bricks you're laying upon our shoulders as adults. They're the next level of this building called the church. And Lord, I want them strengthened. I want them strengthened by Jesus Christ in their lives, as I want everyone here strengthened by Jesus Christ in our lives. Lord, put on whatever weight you have, but Lord, build layer upon layer of those that believe in Jesus Christ, Lord, so that one day when the enemy throws all he has at the church of God, your body of Christ, Lord, it will stand. And it will stand strong because we are all joined together by Jesus in our lives. Lord, I pray for husbands and wives, moms and dads, and grandparents, Lord, aunts and uncles, Lord, workers, co-workers, bosses, employees, Lord, wherever we are, Lord, I pray that we are strengthened And Lord, when we crumble, when things get difficult, that we don't go to our boss right away, we don't go to our pastor right away, we go to you. And we say, God, what's going on? God, what do I need to do different? God, help strengthen me. And we pray, Lord, that you show us the way, but strengthen us within. Lord, through the mighty works of Jesus Christ. Amen.